Accession number 16305, Reel 1.
Mr. Cousins, Reel 1. Where were you born, please?
Hastings, Sussex.
Which year was that?
1923.
And what did your father do for a living?
At the time, he was in the building trade.
Did you go to school in Hastings?
Yes.
And how old were you when you left school?
14.
Just before the war?
Yes.
Did you get a job?
Yes.
As what?
Well, we opened with another person a shop, and I was there for, nearly 2 years.
Is that what you were doing when war broke out?
No, the family had to evacuate down to the West Country. At Avon India Rubber Company I worked.
The family had to evacuate?
Yes.
Because of the war, you mean?
Yes. Down to Melksham in Wiltshire.
Was that... When did you evacuate to the West Country?
1940.
Was that after the bombing had started or before the bombing started?
After.
What do you remember about the start of the bombing in Hastings?
Oh, it was only through planes that have gone over and sort of dropped a few bombs that maybe had left from other raids.
Whereabouts in Hastings did they drop?
On the West Hill side, when I first saw them.
Were any houses hit?
Oh, yes. In fact, I looked out the bedroom window this particular morning and saw this plane, and I could see the bombs dropping from it. And also, machine gun quite a bit, the people round the area, on the hills and so on.
Any particular buildings in Hastings that were hit that you remember?
Oh, no, because there was nothing there of any importance, really.
Did any bombs hit the centre?
I don't think so, not while I was there, anyway.
Were any casualties caused?
Yes. I don't know how many, but there was, yes.
Did you know of anybody who was a casualty?
No.
Did the raids make the family nervous?
Well, we were asked to leave, and we really wanted to. My father wanted to take us away.
Who were you asked to leave by?
The local council. In fact, buses and trains were laid on for us.
Can you describe the scene in which you embarked on the buses to go to the West Country?
We caught the bus down the bottom of the street with a lot of other people and taken to the station. And I can always remember, while the train was in the station, there was an air raid. And there's a tunnel quite close to the station, and they shunted the train in there while the raid was over. And after a while, we carried on their journey to Wiltshire.
What was your address in Hastings?
4 East Hill Passage, Old Saint Street.
And where did you go to in Wiltshire?
Melksham.
What kind of a place did you go to?
I went to, in a house with another, with the person I went with from Hastings. At the time he was living with us. And the parents, they managed to get a small cottage attached to, in fact, she was the sort of leading lady of the village. So they were quite pleased about that.
So you were all lodgers, were you?
Oh, yes. And in this village, there was the Avon in the Rubber Company. And I worked there until I was 18.
How did the Hastings people get on with the people of Melksham?
Oh, very well. Very well, in fact. In fact, the people where we lodged at, they were very nice to us, very nice.
Were the Melksham people much the same as the Hastings people, or were there any differences in the way in which they went on?
No, I don't think so, apart from the speech, of course.
Now, can you tell me how you came to be in the Navy?
Yes, I say working at this factory, and when I was came 18, I volunteered.
Why did you do that?
Well, because I thought I'd rather be in the Navy than the Army, so I thought I'd beat them to it. Although I think I would have been kept on at the factory as been working making tyres.
So this was 1941?
Yes.
Where did you have your training?
Devonport, HMS Raleigh.
Can you describe what it was like?
Yes, it was just a typical wooden huts and big playground, of course. And it was a big establishment in Tor Point.
How were you treated?
Oh, very well. The discipline was very strict, of course, but very well.
What type of things did you learn?
Well, it is for seamen, just seamanship, marching and usual boat drills and knots and so on and everything like that, and compasses and so on.
How did you take to the naval discipline?
Oh, very well. Yes, very well. See, because I hadn't been living with the parents for, although I kept seeing them, but I hadn't been living with them for about a year, I should think, so I took to it all right.
Was Devonport raided by the German Air Force whilst you were there?
Oh, yes, yes, very much so. Yes, it was, Devonport itself was really flattened.
Can you describe the raids there?
Oh, no, because the biggest one happened before I went there. But there's one or two raids afterwards, of course.
What do you remember about those?
Well, we all had to go in specially built shelters alongside the huts at HMS Raleigh. And that was nearly every night.
Did any bombs fall on HMS Raleigh whilst you were there?
No, not whilst I was there, but there was one or two dropped previous.
Did you go into Devonport to see the damage done?
Oh, yes, yes, very often.
Where have most of the bombs fallen?
Well, in the city centre, really. Yes, it was completely flattened. In fact, you could walk from Devonport to Plymouth and you wouldn't see a building that was badly standing.
Did you train for a speciality at that time in the Navy?
No, just seaman.
And where did you go to after HMS Raleigh?
I did about 6 months, I think, at Stoker's HMS Cabot, or Cabo, at Bristol. It was a Stoker's training establishment. I went there as guard.
Any incidents that happened to you there?
No, I thought it rather funny, and being one of the guard, I had to, if there was any invasion, my job was to get an old Maxim water-cooled machine gun, because the establishment was right alongside the cricket field, and my job was to carry this machine gun and onto the cricket field, onto the edge. And I also had keys to unlock a small room where inside there was steel pipes with bayonets soldered in the end. And that was to be sort of given out to the stokers, I should think. But of course, never did have to use it.
Where is HMS Cabo?
In Bristol.
Any experience of air raids there?
No. Although that was bombed heavily.
What date have we reached by now, approximately?
Yes, I was at HMS Cabo from February 42 to July 42.
And after that spell there, did you go to sea?
No, went straight back to HMS Drake, Plymouth Barracks, and then from there to the Onslow.
Do you remember the day you joined the Onslow? I don't mean the actual date. It was actually, according to your record, it was the 21st of July 1942.
That's right.
Can you remember your experience?
Oh, yes. It was about six of us. We left the barracks at Devonport and we went to... was given the name of the ship, which I've never heard of, which was Onslow, and the name of the place, which I've never heard of, which was Immingham. And six of us went. Went to Immingham and eventually found it after a day's travelling. And we all joined it, and it was at Humber Dry Dock, having a big refit.
What impression did the ship and its complement make on you when you joined it?
Well, being first ship, I didn't know what to expect, and of course it was being worked on, and it was in dry dock, matter of fact, and there wasn't many sailors around at the time, but we eventually all met up, sort of thing, and when we finished there, we went on trials in the North Sea after coming out of there. And then after the trials were successful, we went back into the Humber and tied up at the oil jetties at Immingham. And we had the ship's dance on Cleethorpes Pier.
Ship's dance?
Yes, yeah.
What did that involve?
Well, the usual drink beer sort of thing and dancing and so on. Only this one night, and then...
Who did you dance with?
Oh, I can't remember the time.
No, I mean, where did the women come from?
Oh, Grimsby, Cleethorpes area. Oh, yes. Then the next day we went to sea, up to Scapath Flow to join the fleet.
What was your job aboard ship?
Well, I was guns crew at that time, ex-guns crew.
And what was your job?
Well, only seaman, so I mean that can involve anything.
What was your job at the action station?
Cordite supply on the Excon.
What did the cordite look like?
Well, brass cylinders, about 18 inches or 2 foot long, and it was a 4.7 gun, so it'd be 4.7 inches across the base.
Where did you collect the cordite from?
Well, for a start, we had lockers on the gun deck, which would hold about 12 each, two lockers, about 12 each. And then that was to start us off, if necessary. And then we had to open up hatches on the deck, and people below would push it up, and we would get it off there. That's the idea of it.
And where did you pass them to?
Put them straight onto the tray on the gun.
How heavy was the cordite?
Well, not that heavy, really. I could imagine about 14 pound, I should think.
Now, you said that you went to Scapa Flow, did you?
Yes, yeah.
What happened to you there?
Well, we did exercises for everything, gunnery, torpedo shooting, because we weren't very successful at the time, being a fresh crew. And then I can always remember on the torpedo trial runs, we lost one, of course, and had to get a diver to go and pick it up in Scapa Flow. And on the when we was firing at the drone, what the aircraft was carrying, for they all complained about was firing too close to the aircraft. And same again when the tug was towing the target there. So at first we wasn't very successful, but it took time.
And when all this had finished?
Oh, we joined the fleet proper then.
To do what?
Well, various things. Russian convoys mostly. I don't know how many convoys I did, but I should say it would be about 8 or 9, I should think. And there's not one where nothing happened. But you only remember the ones that something serious happened. Like the first one, the PQ-18, where it was the biggest convoy ever that went up there. And I can always remember that day because all 13s, on the 13th of September, 42, after the one raid, I counted 13 ships that were either sinking or sunk, and we shot down 13 aircraft. Not us, but the old, in that one day.
Did you see any of the aircraft brought down?
Oh, yes, yes, yeah.
Can you describe any of the incidents?
Well, I know we had to go after a life raft that was reported on our starboard side, and went after it expecting to be some of our airmen, because at the time we had those, we had aircraft carrier with us, and expected to be them, but we found it was two German seamen, a German airman. One was in the raft and one was hanging on the side. We lowered scrambling next, but we didn't bother to pick them up because we thought they were dead.
Were they dead, do you think?
Well, I would like to say.
Any other incidents you remember from PQ-18?
Yes, we had to oil ship in Spitsbergen. And we came out of there, and I don't know why, but we had to oil again in the middle of the convoy. And I was up in the crow's nest. And it was, I know it's pretty dusk all the time, but there was an air raid, and of course I had to get from the crow's nest down to the X-gun as quick as possible, and it wasn't very nice when there was planes flying practically as low as you. Anyway, we made it and took up our station on the beam of the convoy.
Did you have any aircraft to protect the convoy?
Only from these carriers. It was mostly those utility carrier sort of thing. It carried about 18 aircraft.
Was Onslow hit at all on PQ-18?
No, not at all, no.
Why was that? Because the aircraft were going for the merchant ship?
Oh, yes, without a doubt. In fact, the torpedo bomb was used to float the top of us to get to them. So, at one time, it was early morning, we was on watch on B-gun, and one German aircraft came that low and that close where I could see the crew inside. And of course, by the time we got to the guns, like, we managed to fire at it with the Oricans, but of course missed.
Any other incidents you remember from PQ-18?
No, I don't think so, no. Only for the fact we had to spend quite a while in Vienga Bay, that's called an inlet, and shortage of food and so on.
Why were you short of food?
Well, because I don't know whether the convoy took longer, but we were supplied by the cruisers for bread and so on.
Did you get anything from the Russians?
No, no, not a thing. No. In fact, we didn't go ashore at all on that them times.
So what were you living on?
Oh, only usual rations, like, but it was cut down a bit.
You said you remember the serious incidents on the Arctic convoys. What's the next serious incident that you remember?
Well, I think the next one was with when Captain Sherbrooke won the VC. At the time, I was on X-Gun again, of course. And I was gunsweeper on X-Gun. That means just normally keeping it clean and sort of running it round when you have time and make sure everything's all right. And would you want to talk about the...
Please, if you can give all the details you can remember from that action.
Yes, well, the first thing I heard was gunfire about 8 o'clock in the morning. In fact, I knew we were somewhere off the Norwegian coast, but I thought it was from the coast, from the land itself. But apparently it was one of the ships taking on a German destroyer. And soon after that, the alarms went, and of course I was already on X-Gun. And we saw it all closed up, and we found it was not a good light at the time, being that time of year as well. And but you could see ships and so on. And then we heard that the Hipper and destroyers were ahead of us to the north. So we left the convoy, three destroyers, I forget the names, the Obedient was one, I think the Offa the other one, and went after the Hipper, and at the same time making a smoke screen. And I thought at the time, surely they can see us easy, because when you're ahead of the smoke screen, the front end of the ship is sort of in view, and it was white smoke from the floats at the bottom and the black smoke from the funnel itself, which I thought looked quite nice at the time. But anyway, when we eventually got to the Hipper, of course that's when the fun started. They was fired at us, and I got the order to load, and I put my cordite charge on the tray, and the other sailor put his shell in front of the cordite, and the other one pushed the tray over and another one rammed it home. And then the captain of the gun went to close the breech and wouldn't close, so just sort of stood around. And at that few minutes after that, I saw the fall of shot of the Hipper, from the Hipper. It was on the starboard bow, I should think about 30 yards away, and about six shots in the water. And in a matter of seconds, which I didn't hear or see, next salvo we were hit. One shell hit the top of the funnel, completely knocked it off the top of the funnel, and then another shell went, I think, about a matter of a few feet above the waterline on the port side, and another shell hit, I think it was round about that same area, but above the superstructure. And with that, when that happened, the splinters from the funnel went towards the bridge and hit Captain Sherbrooke in his eye, took his eye out. And at the same time, the ship was caught fire and listed very badly. Whether it was through water in the far mess deck or whether they flooded the magazines, I think they flooded the magazines. Of course, all the crew in the far mess deck were killed. And they say the ship listed very heavily and it was on fire, and we left the convoy after the next ship behind us took over, the Obedient. And while this was going on, I'm sure it was snowstorms. I'm sure I saw a big craft, a German ship, in between the showers. At a distance, I could imagine, about 3/4 of a mile, I should think, at a guess. But lucky enough, it didn't fire back at us. Can't understand that. You know, we managed to get in front of the convoy, and that's where we stopped, because at the time, we just had one gun that was any use. 1.47 gun and 1.4-inch gun, because the two fire guns were out of action, crew killed. And we kept in front of the convoy. Then after a while, we were relieved on X gun, because we got it clean then. We thought it was a bit of ice back of the ejectors that pushes the cordite case out, and of course it wouldn't come push the cordite case right in. And so that left us with two guns operational then. Anyway, we left the convoy and went to Russia on our own, arriving at Kola Inlet. So still listening very badly. But on the way, we had to empty the fire magazine. That's the reason why I think it was flooded, because somebody down below in the magazine emptied the cordite cases into buckets, and we had to throw the cordite over the side. So when we eventually got to Russia, there was ambulances or whatever was waiting for us, and went alongside the jetty and took the injured off. But before we got to Russia, by the way, the injured at the time were taken down to the officers' quarters and laid on their bunks in more comfortable sort of thing. And in the afternoon, we buried some at sea. Some had already been buried, but we buried some at sea, and we had to sort of say a little service. Well, the captain, Jimmy did, and said a prayer and so on, and slid them over the side. And then we were told to go and clear out the mess deck that was being hit. Well, it was completely empty, really, so either being burned or, apart from the metal bits, of course, and there's a lot of water in there, about a foot of water, and we had to bail it out. And I found bits of people, persons in there, and I always remember there was one the stanchion that holds the decks up, there's a piece of persons inside that had gone round this